Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. The player preview series continues today with a couple of rookies, Wendell Moore Jr. and Josh Minot, as well as old friend Nate Knight, who's back this season with the Wolves after being a two-way player last year. What can we expect from each of the three based on what they did last year? And of course, the case of the rookies, what they did in college. How could each of them see the floor this year? What's their path to minutes? How could they impact the Wolves? We're going to break it all down here on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. Hopefully your week is going fantastically well. A big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find Locked On Wolves. Of course, you can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T, and also my account, which is at bbeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. We are now just 2 weeks away from the start of training camp, media day, all that good stuff is now within 2 weeks. I think 3 weeks away for the first preseason game and only 5 weeks away from the start of the regular season. So it's happening. It's happening quickly. We're Monday, Wednesday, Friday shows this week and next week. And then the week of training camp, we'll kick in Monday through Friday, five shows a week here at Locked On Wolves. So make sure that you are following and subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, greatly appreciated. We are, this is really kind of part two of our player preview series. On Monday, we talked about the Timberwolves Exhibit 10 contract signees, the non-roster guys who are invited to training camp, as well as the two-way players. So we covered four players on Monday's show. The two-way guys, Eric Lawson and Eric Paschal, and the two Exhibit 10 guys who will likely end up in Iowa with the Iowa Wolves of the G League. That's CJ Ellaby and Luka Garza. I talked about all four of those guys on Monday, so if you missed that, go back and listen to it today. Breaking down both rookies that are expected to be on the roster this year, the first-rounder Wendell Moore Jr., the second-rounder Josh Minot, and last year's two-way player Nate Knight, who is on a partially guaranteed deal this season and is expected to be on the squad. So we'll start with Josh Minot and work our way, backwards here, I'm kind of doing this in no particular order, but Minot first. I think he's probably the least likely of the three to see regular minutes this year. Although long-term, we'll get into this here in a second. I wouldn't shock me if he's got the highest upside, at least in terms of his future role with the team. But this season, I'd say of the three, Minot, Moore, and Knight, that Minot is probably the least likely to see minutes, at least early in the season. So we'll start there. We'll go to Moore next, and then we'll finish with Nate Knight. Josh Minot, of course, was a second-round pick this year, technically by, I think it was Charlotte. Yeah, by Charlotte, traded to the Wolves as part of a draft night deal. Minot's thing is he's extremely raw. He played in 33 games in college. He had some injury issues at Memphis, University of Memphis. He only started five games. So a little bit shades of Zach LaVine. Remember, Zach LaVine wasn't even a starter at UCLA when the Wolves drafted him in the lottery. I think it was 13th overall that season. Minot, you know, not apples to apples, obviously, but he only started five games over the course of the full season. His per game averages, you know, aren't anything to write home about if, like, anybody's, you know, dad like picked up the newspaper and was like, oh, this guy only averaged 6 points a game and 3.8 rebounds in college. Why the Wolves draft him? He only shot, you know, whatever, 14% on threes. All of this is true, but it goes beyond that, right? The thing with Josh Minot is he's legit in terms of his size. He's 6'8". He's got a wingspan of 6'11". He's got off the charts athleticism. If you watched him at all in Vegas Summer League, he was fantastic. And I predicted before the Summer League, I thought that it was a really good fit for the way Minot plays. He's a high energy, high athleticism, good sized wing and forward who can get out in transition to make things happen. He did that in Summer League and more. His best game, I think, was the first game, if I remember correctly. And then things kind of leveled off for him. You know, foul trouble is a thing, but that's to be expected for rookies, especially energetic rookies that are aggressive and they want to make things happen, which is a very good problem to have, right? It's the whole, you'd rather say whoa than giddy up, right? I mean, you'd rather have to tell somebody to rein it in than like, hey, let's get after I mean, Andrew Wiggins is a perfect example. Obviously, Wiggs turned into something with Golden State, but he's the sort of, like, Wiggs did not play like his hair is on fire. Josh Minot, that's the way he plays. And with off-the-charts athleticism, 6'8", height, 6'11", wingspan, you look at his block rates and steal rates in college, they're both fantastic. And really, for any position, but especially for anybody that's going to play big at the NBA level, steal rate and block rate is really important to try and project what an NBA production could look like. And I know that you're 6'8", you might assume, oh, maybe he's a 3. He's really a 4. Actually, my favorite comp for him is kind of a Brandon Clark-ish player. Brandon Clark's only 6'8", and he's got a smaller wingspan. His wingspan's like 6'9", 6'9.5". Minot's 6'8 with a 6'11 wingspan. Minot has more size than Brandon Clark. He's got tons of upside as a rebounder. The rebounding numbers in college aren't outstanding given, you know, what you'd expect or you'd want to see. They're still very good. His offensive rebound rate is outstanding at Memphis. 12.9%, almost a 13% offensive rebound rate, which is phenomenal. For context, let me pull up what the Timberwolves rebound, you know, like, I guess, overall as a team this past season. I had it pulled up a second ago. In terms of offensive rebound rate, just for some context, so to help everyone understand just how good a 12.9% offensive rebound rate is, it would have led the team for the Timberwolves last year. Coincidentally, Nate Knight, who we'll talk about later, did lead the team in offensive rebound rate last season for the Timberwolves. Now, of course, those numbers look a little different, college versus the pros. Vando had a 12% offensive rebound rate last season. Naz Reid, 8.8%. Karl-Anthony Towns, 8.2%. Josh Minot at the University of Memphis had a 12.9% offensive rebound rate, which is phenomenal. So the size, the athleticism, the steal and block rate, the rebounding upside, the high motor that he plays with, the way that Minot plays passing lanes, his instincts are extremely good. You know, the on-ball defense has a little bit of work that needs to be done, but I think he's got this complementary defensive piece, offensive glass, you know, decent defensive rebounder, good size. It's kind of like a Vanderbilt, Brandon Clark type player. He's never going to be more than a 10-11 point per game score, and probably per game averages, not more than 6-7 rebounds per game. But he's going to do a little bit of everything and provide that energy and motor. And again, he's a second round pick. So if there's upside beyond that, great. But if he does all of those things, I don't think he's going to have much of a role this season, especially not early. He's probably the 12th or 13th guy right now on this roster. But 12 months from now, say Taurean Prince, his second year in Prince's contract is unguaranteed. Obviously there's a lot of question marks related to next season, right? Lots of non-guaranteed contracts, Austin Rivers, D'Lo's not under contract for next year for his sisters. There's a lot up in the air. There's a reasonable chance that Josh Minot becomes a fringe rotation guy next season, and a couple years from now is seeing regular minutes for the Wolves. If his career progresses as is entirely possible based on his ability and what we think he could be. So Josh Minot, really intriguing player. I'm excited to watch him play. I would imagine he gets some time in the G League this season. He seems like a perfect candidate for that, but keep your eye on Josh Minot moving forward, even if he is roughly 12th, 13th guy on the roster currently. All right, next we'll talk about the first-round pick, Wendell Moore Jr., before we get to Nate Knight to close the show. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. We're into three. This upcoming week is week three of college football, week two of NFL football. You can find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. Of course, lots of fun NFL action this past weekend and college too. I mean, if you're a Minnesota fan, 2-0, looking good, obviously not facing a ton of stiff competition, and actually another really winnable game against a Power 5 team this weekend in University of Colorado. And, tons of fun NFL action, which is really, NFL's a ton of fun to bet. It's hard to bet the NFL. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events. That includes Major League Baseball, which is in the home stretch, just about 3 weeks left, 2.5 weeks left in their regular season. MMA, boxing, and golf. NHL starts up soon, and of course, basketball regular season is only 5 weeks away. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Which NBA player moves the betting line the most this season? Is it Steph Curry? Is it Kevin Durant, LeBron James? Maybe it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Locked On and the BetOnline odds makers present the NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players starting on September 19th. Find it on Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcasts in on YouTube. We have a sneak peek at that list. We're going to be talking about the NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players according to BetOnline and our own network, Locked On. We're going to be talking about this on the podcast next week. So make sure to check that out starting on Monday the 19th. Again, Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. All right, we talked about second-round pick Josh Minot. Let's talk about the first-round pick, Wendell Moore Jr., of course, from Duke. He was the 26th overall pick, officially drafted by Dallas, traded to the Wolves on draft night, a three-year player at Duke, and became a starter, actually started a good chunk of games as a freshman, started about two-thirds of his games as a sophomore, started all 39 Duke games this past season, 13.4 points per game, just over 5 rebounds per game. The three-point shooting was only 30% as a junior, 21% as a freshman, 30% as a sophomore, 21% as a freshman, jumped to 41.3% this year as a senior, which is, frankly, the difference between him being a second-round pick and a first-round pick, in my opinion, because the physical tools are mostly there. We'll talk about that. The defensive chops are mostly there. It was, hey, he's at a 9 point per game score at 30% from three in the ACC after 2 years. Is this guy an NBA player? But if all of a sudden you're shooting 41% from three, you've generally improved your overall all-around efficiency and you're playing a much bigger role as a starter on Duke's team, then you get a longer and a harder look by NBA scouts. Moore is 6'5". He's got a fantastic 7 foot wingspan. If you're 6'5" with a 7 foot wingspan, that's really good size for an NBA two, who can play some three. I think he probably profiles best as right now, I think you could call him a 3-and-D player because of the size, the 6'5", 7 foot wingspan, good defender, outstanding in the pick and roll at college, and 41% from three. Now, is that improvement in his 3-point shot real? I mean, we'll find out, right? Like, I mean, Jalen Noel was fantastic in college. It took him like 4 years to figure out the 3-point shot at the NBA level. So we'll see. But I think his floor is as a good, honestly, a good 3-and-D type player, which is really valuable. I think his ceiling's a little bit higher because he is a bit of a jack of all trades. I think of him as a Swiss Army knife type player. I'm not 100% sold on one season of 41% shooting from the college three, but clearly there's something there, right? He's an okay shooter. He's a good defender, really good in the pick and roll. He can distribute. He was 52%, by the way, on catch and shoot threes. I had that note as well. I think he does a little bit of everything. In my opinion, the way I described him back around the draft was as a two-way role player, if you will. So, your two-way players are your superstars. Jimmy Butler is kind of the best example of like a guy who's truly a two-way player, does everything you want at both ends of the floor. Obviously, the best of like Kevin Durant, right? Prime Kevin Durant, even Giannis. Obviously, Giannis isn't the shooter of Jimmy Butler doesn't really shoot threes anymore either. But all those guys are two-way players. LeBron, obviously. But you're always looking for the two-way player. I'm not saying Wendell Moore Jr. is going to be a superstar, but he can do it all at a role player level, right? Like he can score from all levels. He can shoot threes. He can play defense. He's probably slightly above average at most of these things, which means he's probably a rotation caliber NBA player when it's all said and done, which, isn't going to be this year. It could be next year, the year after. And he maybe could step in and do it if he was asked to do it. But this Wolves team is deep enough that he's probably the 11th or 12th guy and won't be asked to do it on a nightly basis. Now, I mean, who knows? If he shows enough in practice, guys get hurt. Who knows? People get sick, COVID, whatever. Hopefully not, of course. Maybe Austin Rivers is only a partially guaranteed contract. Maybe he doesn't get minutes. He's unhappy. They let him go in January. Maybe Wendell Moore showed enough in practice or preseason, whatever. They think he can step in and play a role. It's all possible. I think it's far more likely he's involved. As I said a minute ago with Minot, it's probably a year two thing when he becomes a rotation guy. I mean, he may have an inside track next year, 12 months from now, on a rotation role. But remember, this is a guy drafted in the mid-20s in the first round. So typically, you're not going to get very many starting-level players there. You'll get some. But I think more likely than not, he's out of the rotation this year. He finds his way in the rotation, perhaps as early as next year. My comp after watching some tape on him after the Wolves drafted him was kind of a bigger, like for Wolves fans, think of a bigger Josh Okogie. He's a little bit taller. He's built a little bit better, and he can shoot, hopefully. 41% for three last year, 52% in catch and shoot, but the numbers were a lot uglier as a freshman and a sophomore. If that's truly clicked, and if the mechanics are there and the results are there, think of him as a little bit of a bigger Josh Okogie, maybe not quite as good overall defensively with a jumper. Now, the pick and roll defense, I think, is already fantastic. You know, we'll see if he's as good of a team defender as Josh was at times in a Timberwolves uniform. But Wendell Moore Jr., as a two-way role player, probably not a rotation guy, certainly not right away at the start of the season. But I really like him long-term on this Wolves team. So keep an eye on him. Again, not as much in the 22-23 season, but certainly moving forward. All right, we'll close the show today by talking about Nate Knight. A really fun player, somebody I like talking about, who had a pretty good season for the Wolves when he saw the court this past season. So we'll close the show by talking about him. All right, Nate Knight was a two-way player for the Atlanta Hawks a couple years ago when the Hawks went to the Eastern Conference Finals. That was the 2021 season. He actually never played in the G League for them, only played in 33 games at the NBA level. And then this past season for Minnesota, he signed a two-way deal with the Wolves, played in 37 games, and in fact started two with the Wolves and played in one game in the G League. Of course, the per-game numbers aren't outstanding because he played a lot of short-minute type games. But when he did get the opportunity to start, which was due to, I think it was primarily due to COVID, right? It was December, January timeframe. He was really good. So in that game against Boston 2 days after Christmas, the Wolves beat Boston last year at Target Center. Nate Knight had 20 points and 11 rebounds as a starter. Got a chance to start the next night against the Knicks and was not as good. 8 points, 7 rebounds. So the high watermark was obviously the 20-11. In fact, he only scored 8 or more points three other times. The last regular season game against the Bulls, he scored 17 and had 17 and 8 in just 16 minutes of play. So when given the opportunity, Nate Knight did produce, which is what we saw from him in his one game in the G League when he scored, I think he scored 33 points in his only G League game, hit 4 threes on 9 tries, just dominated the G League. But the rate-based numbers, which is what we have to rely on for guys like this who've only played in 70 NBA games over 2 seasons, limited minutes. I mean, for his career over 70 games, he's averaged 7.8 minutes per game between the Wolves and the Hawks over 2 seasons. So we don't have enough data to really know what he can do at the NBA level, but his skill set is fairly well-rounded. And I mentioned this in the first segment today when I was actually talking about Josh Minot. Nate Knight led the Timberwolves in offensive rebound rate last season at 12.5%, even better than Jared Vanderbilt's rebound rate. His overall rebound rate, his total rebound rate, 17.1%, which similarly is right in line with the Wolves' best performers last year in that metric. And again, I lost my rebounding numbers, but let's see. I have them right here. 17.1% total rebound rate last season, only behind Jared Vanderbilt's 17.8%. So Knight was the best offensive rebounder by rate last year. Vando was second. Vando was first in total rebound rate. Knight was second in total rebound rate on the Wolves. And Karl-Anthony Towns, for perspective, is 15.7% total rebound rate. Nate Knight is 17.1. And Naz Reid, who struggles in this category, is 13.3%. We'll talk about Naz fully in a preview on a future episode. We'll get to him soon. But I think the Nate Knight, Naz Reid thing, when we talk about a role, is fairly, it's going to be matchup dependent. Nate Knight is the kind of guy who's going to bang down low. He's going to get offensive rebounds. He's going to get defensive rebounds. He's also got a little bit of an outside stroke. Maybe not quite as good as Naz Reid, but the touch is definitely there. Naz did a little more shooting from the perimeter in college than Knight did, at least more successfully than Knight did. So the track record may be a little bit better for Naz. But I feel just as good about Nate Knight's jumper from the perimeter, and he can do everything in between. He's a better passer than Naz. I think he's a more reliable, more of a, what you think of with a true big, right? The body type, the willingness to get in the paint and get dirty, to you know, really be physical. Knight can do those things, I think, better than Naz Reid can. I've been saying all summer, I wouldn't shock me if Naz was eventually traded for a second-round pick or two. That could still happen, although it becomes less likely by the day, I think. And obviously, you need depth, given the Towns' propensity to be in foul trouble. But Nate Knight is provides kind of that edge and that physicality the Wolves don't really have a ton of on their team, and especially in the front court. So I think Knight fits a role in this team extremely well. Again, the rate base numbers are all very good for Nate Knight from last year, the rebound numbers primarily. But that's not it. I mean, like, the assist numbers were good. He had almost a 12% assist rate last season, a 3% block rate, 2.9. And the three-point rate was only 15%, so only 15% of his shot attempts were threes. The free throw rate was fantastic, 0.68, which means that for every field goal from the field he attempted, he was attempting 0.68 free throws. So essentially, for every three field goals he's attempting, he's attempting two free throws, which is phenomenal. And of course, good touch. He was a 73% free throw shooter for his career at the NBA level. He's 76.5% from the free throw line. So rebounds, the ability to get fouled, the ability to stretch the floor if he needs to, and also to pass the ball. We know that Chris Finch likes bigs that can pass. Those are going to play multiple bigs a lot this year. Knight could play alongside Rudy Gobert. He could play alongside Karl Anthony Towns and play that four role as well. Provide some beef, provide some rebounding. This is a team that likely may struggle. You know, obviously, Rudy changes the game a bit, quite a bit, hopefully. But this team struggled mightily on the glass, especially on the defensive glass last season. And more minutes to Nate Knight instead of Naz Reid could help remedy that issue. So perhaps we see Knight in some big lineups with Rudy or with Towns. If either Rudy or Cat get into foul trouble, that could be something we see more of this season. So don't expect Knight to be a regular part of the rotation, but also don't be surprised if he eats into Naz Reid's minutes as a 10th guy, you know, if Gobert or Towns get into foul trouble, if the matchups call for it. Don't be shocked to see Nate Knight earn some minutes this season. I think Chris Finch likes him a lot. He said before on the record that he believes Knight is a rotation player at the NBA level. And don't be shocked if Finch puts his money where his mouth is and gives Nate Knight the opportunity to get some run this season as a, you know, kind of the backup center, co-backup center with Naz Reid. All right, that's all we have for you today. We'll continue the roster review on Friday, or roster preview, I should say. We'll get into some guys that are actually rotation guys. We're kind of towing that line with Nate Knight. We'll get to like the 9-10 guys on the roster here on Friday. Next week, we'll also do three shows. And then the following week, we're back to five shows a week, daily Monday through Friday. A big thank you again to making, or a big thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder, if you listen on Apple, please help us out with a positive review. That definitely helps if you listen on YouTube. Please subscribe, like the video, comment below. All of those things help us get in front of more folks, and it is greatly appreciated. That's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. For your second listen today, get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the league in just 30 minutes every single day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.